Welcome to a new deep dive of AI Unraveled, the show created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada.
Great to be here.
And if you're enjoying these explorations into the world of artificial intelligence, maybe take a moment to like and subscribe wherever you get your audio. It really helps.
Definitely.
We know you're busy, probably trying to keep up with all this AI stuff without getting totally bogged down.
It's a lot, for sure.
So our mission today is basically to sift through the AI news and updates from around May 15th, 2025, and just pull out the really important bits.
Yeah, give you the highlights, the stuff you actually need to know. Mm-hmm. A shortcut to understanding what shifted recently.
Exactly. And we've got quite a mix today, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. New models, some surprising math stuff from Google AI, safety talks, regulation moves. It's packed.
Okay, let's jump right in. Anthropic seems to be making waves again. There's buzz about a new model, Claude Neptune.
That's the code name floating around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Claude Neptune. The thinking is this is meant to be their next big step up.
Like a direct challenger to the top dogs, GPT-5, Gemini Ultra, that level.
Precisely. That seems to be the ambition. And the fact that it's reportedly already in, you know, internal security testing.
Right.
That suggests they're taking the safety aspect very seriously from the get-go and maybe looking at a release, perhaps late May,
yeah,
early June, sometime soonish.
Interesting. But it's not just Neptune, is it? They're also apparently boosting their existing models, Claude Opus and Sonnet.
Yes, exactly. Enhanced versions are supposedly in the works. And what sounds particularly interesting there is this focus on greater autonomy.
Autonomy, meaning they can kind of work more independently.
Yeah, handle more complex tasks with maybe less hand-holding, being better at using external tools, you know, like searching the web or using calculators.
Okay.
And even self-correction. Like if it's coding something, it could potentially test the code, find a bug, and fix it itself.
Wow, okay. That self-correction part sounds pretty significant, especially for things like coding or analysis.
It really is. Yeah. It points towards AI that's not just following instructions,
right,
but actively problem-solving more robustly.
Which just underlines this, well, relentless drive among the big AI labs, doesn't it? The competition is fierce.
Absolutely fierce. Everyone's pushing for more power, more versatility, making these systems smarter and, frankly, more independent.
Speaking of power, OpenAI hasn't been quiet. They've rolled GPT 4.1 right into ChatGPT now.
They have, yeah. For paid subscribers, that's Plus, Pro, and Team users. Enterprise and education folks are apparently coming soon.
And the big deal with 4.1 is better coding.
That's a major highlight, yes. Superior coding capabilities, and it's meant to be much better at following specific, detailed instructions accurately.
Okay. And they also launched a mini version, GPT 4.1 mini. What's the story there?
Right. So the 4.1 mini is actually the new default for free ChatGPT users now.
Oh, really? So free users get an upgrade too?
Yep. A pretty significant one by the sounds of it. Paid users can also choose to use the mini model. The idea is it offers enhanced intelligence compared to the previous free model, but it's also more efficient. So faster, maybe.
Gotcha. And both of these 4.1 models, the big one and the mini, have this massive context window, a million tokens.
Yeah, that's a huge number.
Break that down for us. What does a million tokens mean in practice?
Okay, think of it like the AI's working memory.
Yeah.
A million tokens.
Mm-hmm.
It's roughly the amount of text in a short novel.
Seriously?
Yeah. So it means the AI can process way more information at once.
Mm.
You can feed it a huge document or have a much, much longer conversation without it forgetting what you talked about earlier. It just handles bigger, more complex inputs.
Right. So huge reports, long code bases, extended back and forth.
Exactly. It really expands the scale of tasks you can tackle with it.
So basically, OpenAI is giving its paying customers the latest and greatest immediately, and even the free users are getting a noticeable step up. Sounds like a win-win for ChatGPT users.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
It's definitely pushing their tech forward and making it accessible pretty quickly.
Okay, let's completely switch gears. Google DeepMind and Dot Math. AlphaVolve. This sounds intriguing.
It really is.
Yeah.
This AlphaVolve AI, which uses their Gemini models.
Yeah.
It's not just using math. It's apparently discovering new mathematical stuff.
Discovering, like solving unsolved problems.
That's the claim.
Wow.
They've apparently used it to make breakthroughs on some long-standing problems, like hexagon packing, finding the absolute best way to fit 11 or 12 hexagons into a space.
Huh. Okay, that sounds quite specific.
It is, but it's a classic hard problem. And they also tackled something maybe more impactful. 4x4 matrix multiplication.
Right. I saw that. They made it more efficient, reduced the steps from 49 to 48.
Exactly. which might sound tiny, but it's the first improvement found for that specific operation in over 50 years.
50 years. Wow. And matrix multiplication is used everywhere in computing, right?
Pretty much everywhere. Graphics, simulations, AI training itself. So even a small efficiency gain there could, theoretically, ripple out and save a lot of computing time and energy down the line.
So how does AlphaVolve do this? Is it just crunching numbers?
It's a bit more sophisticated.
Yeah.
They seem to use a kind of evolutionary approach. One Gemini model, Flash, apparently generates lots of potential code ideas, like little programs.
Okay.
Then another model, Gemini Pro, analyzes those ideas. The system creates code, tests it, sees what works, and iteratively improves it, almost like breeding better algorithms.
So it's like AI designing better ways for computers to think.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. And it's not just theory. They mentioned using it for practical things at Google, too, like optimizing their data centers, making AI training faster, even chip design.
And it performed well on other math problems, too.
Apparently so. The report said it tackled over 50 open math problems, matched the best-known solutions in about 75% of cases, and actually found new, better solutions in 20% of them.
That's pretty astonishing. AI is a genuine partner in mathematical discovery.
It really points to that potential, yeah. Accelerating progress in really fundamental areas.
Let's circle back to Anthropic quickly. We talked about Neptune, but they're still working on the current Claude family too, right? Claude 3.7 Sonnet came out earlier this year.
Yeah, 3.7 Sonnet was released back in February, I believe. It was positioned as a balance, you know, high intelligence, but also good speed.
Mm-hmm.
And it has that extended thinking mode.
Extended thinking, what does that imply?
Likely means it's better at tasks that require multiple steps or maintaining focus and context over a longer interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the expectation is we'll see more updates across their whole range, Haiku, Sonnet, Opus.
And we touched on this earlier, but that ability to switch between reasoning and using tools and the self-correction, especially in coding, that feels key.
Definitely. That ability to test its own output, find flaws, and try again without a human jumping in, that's a big step towards more capable, reliable AI agents.
And alongside the Neptune rumors, they launched a bug bounty program specifically for Claude's safety principles.
That's right. Seems like a smart move. As the models get more powerful, you want more eyes looking for potential safety issues or ways they might misuse instructions, using the wider community to help kick the tires on safety.
It really emphasizes how fast things are moving. New models, new capabilities, and constant focus on refinement and safety.
Absolutely. Anthropic's clearly iterating very quickly, pushing the envelope with Claude.
Okay, topic change again. Something maybe more immediately practical for a lot of listeners. Creating PDFs using AI.
Yes, this is becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Tools are popping up that promise to take your text and just poof, turn it into a nicely formatted PDF.
Like prompts to PDF or features built into things like Adobe Acrobat.
Exactly. The AI handles the layout, the styling, structuring the content based on what you tell it you need.
So I could just type, make me a 2-column resume with sections for experience, education, skills, and it would just do it.
That's the goal, yeah. Or create a formal report based on this draft text. It automates all that fiddly formatting work.
That sounds amazing. The outline mentioned a workflow where you give a prompt, see a preview, and then refine it. Maybe even edit the underlying code.
Right. It often gives you that flexibility. You get the AI's first pass, which might be pretty good, but then you can tweak it with more prompts, like make the headings bolder, or if you know LaTeX, you might be able to fine-tune the code directly.
This could genuinely save people hours, especially if you're not a graphic designer.
Totally. It's sort of democratizing document design, making it easier for anyone to create something professional looking without needing specialized software skills. Big efficiency booster.
Now, staying with the big players, OpenAI also launched something around transparency, a safety evaluations hub.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
It's basically a public website where they're sharing results from their internal safety tests on the models.
What kind of tests?
Things like how well the models avoid generating harmful content, how resistant they are to jailbreaking, you know, tricking them into violating their rules, hallucination rates, how well they follow instructions.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And you can see how different OpenAI models compare on these tests.
That's the idea. It shows comparative data. And they say they'll update it when they release major new models.
Seems like a direct response to criticism about them being a bit of a black box regarding safety testing.
I think it has to be seen that way, yes.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of pressure on AI labs to be more open about how they're making sure these powerful systems are safe.
Mm.
This is a step in that direction.
It's good to see, definitely. Build a bit more trust, even though, well, OpenAI still controlling the tests and what gets shared.
True, it's their internal data. But it's still more transparency than we had before, offering some insight into their process and contributing to the wider conversation about AI risks and how to manage them.
Okay, let's touch on the political side. A proposal in the U.S. House, a 10-year ban on states making their own AI laws.
Yeah, quite a bold proposal. Part of a budget reconciliation bill, reportedly. House Republicans proposing a decade-long moratorium, essentially saying only the federal government can regulate AI for that period.
What's the thinking behind that? To avoid a messy patchwork of different state rules.
That's the stated rationale. Create a single, consistent national approach to encourage innovation and avoid companies having to navigate 50 different sets of regulations.
But wouldn't states argue they need to address local issues or risks faster?
That's the pushback. Exactly. It raises that classic tension between federal uniformity for business and state flexibility to tackle specific local concerns. Plus, it still has to get through the Senate, which could be tricky.
Right. Okay, shifting back to industry moves. Google Cloud has a new certification, not for coders, but for leaders.
Correct. The Generative AI Leader Certification. It's aimed squarely at non-technical managers, executives, business leaders.
Why? What's it meant to certify?
Basically, that they understand the strategic side of generative AI, that they get what it can do, what Google Cloud offers in that space, and how to actually guide their company in adopting and using AI effectively.
So it's less about how to build AI and more about how and why to use it in a business context.
Precisely. It's about strategic understanding for decision makers. And they're offering a free online learning path to prepare for the exam, which makes it pretty accessible.
Interesting focus on upskilling the leadership tier. Makes sense. Now, acquisitions. Databricks buying Neon for $1 billion.
Yeah, roughly $1 billion is a reported figure.
Yeah.
A very significant acquisition.
And Neon is a database company, serverless PostgreSQL. How does that fit with Databricks and AI?
Well, Databricks is betting big on AI agents, these more autonomous AI systems we talked about earlier. Neon's database tech is apparently really well suited for the kind of fast-changing dynamic data these agents need to work with.
Oh, okay. So Databricks wants to provide the whole platform, the tools, and the underlying data infrastructure for building these next-gen AI apps.
That seems to be the strategy. Strengthen their position in the AI agent market by offering a more complete, optimized stack for developing and scaling these kinds of applications. It heats up the competition in the data platform space even more.
Okay, one more reality check piece. A New York Times report looked back at those predictions about AI replacing radiologists.
Ah, yes, that old chestnut.
And the verdict is not happening soon.
Pretty much. The report concluded that while AI is definitely being used, places like the Mayo Clinic are using hundreds of AI algorithms for things like enhancing images or flagging potential abnormalities.
Right, as a tool.
Exactly, as an assistive tool. But human radiologists are still indispensable.
What's the gap AI can't fill yet?
It's the holistic view, really. Making the final complex diagnosis, talking to patients, understanding the full medical history, applying clinical judgment in tricky situations. AI isn't there yet. And interestingly, the number of radiologists has apparently kept growing.
So the narrative of AI taking the jobs isn't quite playing out, at least not in radiology for now. It's more augmentation than replacement.
That seems to be the current reality, yes.
Yeah.
AI helps, but it doesn't replace the core expertise in human interaction side of the job.
Okay, that was a lot of ground. Before we wrap, there were a bunch of other smaller but still notable things happening around that time too, right? A quick rundown.
Yeah, a real flurry. Let's see, OpenAI, as we mentioned, released those coding-focused GPT models for everyone. Stability AI open-sourced a small audio generation model. Stable Audio Open Small that can run on regular computers.
Oh, cool. Music samples on your laptop?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Perplexity partnered with PayPal for checkout.
Mm-hmm.
Meta put out a bunch of science research data sets, models for molecules, atoms, even a study on language development.
Meta doing fundamental science research. Interesting.
Uh-huh. NVIDIA signed more AI chip deals in the Middle East. A new decentralized AI infrastructure called Psyche launched.
Mm-hmm.
And that story about the Klarna CEO.
Ah, yeah, the buy now, pay later company. They cut staff because of AI.
But then reportedly had to start hiring human agents again.
Yeah.
Because the AI customer service wasn't quite up to scratch on quality.
That's fascinating. A real world example of AI hitting its limits in, well, dealing with annoyed customers, perhaps.
It certainly shows that even where AI can automate, the quality and nuance needed, especially in customer-facing roles, might still require that human touch. a bit of a cautionary tale there.
Absolutely. Okay, quick pause here if you're listening and thinking about boosting your own tech skills, whether it's AI, cloud, cybersecurity, or something else, definitely check out Etienne Newman's AI-powered Jamgat app.
Right.
It's designed to help you prep for and pass over 50 different certifications. We're talking performance-based questions, quizzes, labs, simulations, really hands-on stuff to make sure you actually understand it.
Good resource to know about.
So we've covered a huge amount. Looking back at all this news from mid-May 2025, what are the big takeaways sticking out to you?
Well, number one is just the sheer speed, right? Things are moving incredibly fast. We're seeing more powerful models like Neptune potentially on the horizon, existing models getting smarter with things like self-correction.
Yeah, the capability creep is constant.
And alongside that power, there's this growing push for transparency and safety, like OpenAI's Hub, Anthropic's Bug Bounty, and the ongoing debate about how or even whether to regulate it all.
Right, that tension between innovation and control.
Exactly. And we see AI getting embedded in more practical tools like the PDF generators, while also making strides in fundamental science, like with AlphaVolve. But there are still clear limits, like the radiology example or Klarna needing humans back.
So the takeaway for you listening is that you've now got a solid grasp of these key moves and trends from that snapshot in time.
Hopefully a much clearer picture, yeah.
So maybe think about this. Which of these developments feels like it could have the biggest ripple effect on your job, maybe, or just on daily life? And what questions does all this raise for you about where things are headed? It's worth digging deeper if something specific caught your attention.
Definitely, because this field isn't slowing down. Staying curious is key.
And if this deep dive helped you get up to speed, please do hit that like or subscribe button on AI Unraveled. It lets us know we're heading in the right direction.
And one last plug.
Yeah.
If you are serious about leveling up your tech skills and tackling those certifications, do check out Etienne Newman's Jamgat Tech app.
Right. Those performance-based questions and simulations really make a difference in preparing for the real thing. It's a solid tool for mastering these future-shaping technologies.